Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Well, hello, Redneck family. This is Tiffany from Redneck and I's Radio, Women of Redneck and I's, coming to you at 7 p.m. Eastern here on the in Ohio in East Liverpool on Wednesday, January 25th. The month of January is dang near over already. Well, I just want to talk tonight about how your travels are out there, what kind of weather you've been seeing. Here in Ohio, it came in, I don't know, probably about 4:30, 5 o'clock. I'm going to say 5, 6, something like that. I don't know. We got snow in just in our neck of the woods right here. We got about an inch, maybe inch and a half, something like that. Nothing major. We had more snow the other day than we did today, but they're saying we're still going to be getting more snow. Currently, right now, we're sitting at 44 degrees, and it is raining, and it has rained, and it stopped raining, and it's raining. So it's a mixed bag of tricks. I know it's like this all over the country. I've seen some things on Facebook on Arkansas where they had, you know, over a foot of snow. No, thank you. I'm good with my couple inches. Perfect for me. So I just want to find out how you guys are doing with your weather out there, because I know everybody is in different parts of the country. Greg's running stuff here local around home. I know he said the roads this morning were pretty shitty because it was mostly out on back roads. But, you know, everywhere I'm seeing, even our road out here, I mean, it was snow covered this morning, and the main road out here was snow covered, but heck, it never lasts long. Not when, you know, they come through. I don't even remember hearing a plow truck or anything like that. But with the temperature starting to warm up and the rain, heck, it's gone. Now, tomorrow morning may be a different story because, you know, we all know what happens when that temperature drops. All that rain's going to freeze, and we're going to have a mess, and people will be everywhere and anywhere and not where they're supposed to be, like on the roadways. Okay, so tonight, I mean, like I said, I wanted to talk about how the weather was where you're at. I'm going to try giving you guys a little bit of weather updates, but I haven't figured out, because it's kind of hard to do it pinpoint areas. So I just pull the map up and say, this is what it is. So basically, guys, it's either snowing or raining wherever you are. I haven't seen anything about road closures. If you guys have seen any out west, let me know. Because I, you know, unless it comes up on one of my trucking pages that I subscribe to, I don't see them very often. So, okay. One of the stories that I'm going to talk to you guys tonight about that I found, and of course, everything I get, where I get most of my stuff from is Overdrive magazine. And, you know, we all know it's because we know some of the writers. One in particular that we just know and love, and that's Long Haul Paul, or Paul Mallhofer. This one here is, I know you guys have seen it on Facebook. Heck, I shared it to my page about the runaway duels. This is happening more and more and more and more and more. And drivers are either getting severely injured, just barely, you know, people missing them rolling down the interstate. But this is about a set of duels naturally coming off. This isn't the one that the driver died in, I don't believe. I think that was a different story that I showed, because these are like coming back. But this is from back in the 8th of January. The one I shared, which let me find it first because I really want to talk about it, because the poor driver, he did get killed in that particular one. And another thing I found too, which was on CDL Life. Well, never mind. We'll get to that one. Okay, because a lot of times I share these stories to my personal Facebook, and it's like, okay, I'll just switch them over. And I don't. I always forget to switch them and put them on the other. Okay, this one is on WTOL Channel 11 News. And this is, I didn't read the whole article, so let me see. I want to see where this is at. Oh, yeah. Wood County, Ohio. Okay, authorities identified truck driver killed after a collision with loose tires on Interstate 280 on Tuesday. This was just the other day. A southbound truck lost tires on 280 Tuesday afternoon. The tires crossed the median and collided with a cab of a tanker truck heading northbound in Lake Township. Wood County, Ohio, a truck driver is dead after a crash Tuesday afternoon in Lake Township. Dual tires came loose from the axle of a semi-tractor trailer heading southbound on 280 near State Route 795 and Moline and Martin Road just before 2 p.m. Tuesday. Ohio State Highway Patrol troopers told WTOL 11 on the scene. The tires crossed the median and collided with the cab of a tanker truck headed northbound, and the tanker driver died at the scene. OSHP identified the driver as 69-year-old Daniel Gardner of Bad Axe, Michigan, in a media release Wednesday morning. The driver of the southbound semi-tractor trailer did not stop after the crash, OSHP said, and the trooper sent a public request for help in locating them. In an update Tuesday evening, OSHP said the southbound driver and the semi-tractor trailer were located at a truck stop near the crash at approximately 6 p.m. No charges have been filed at this time. The crash is still under investigation. What is there to investigate? Did he not do a proper pre-trip? Did he not notice? I mean, what other reason will a set of duals come off of a truck if it wasn't for proper pre-trip? Because most times, Greg, you can tune in and tell me if I'm wrong, but most times it's because of a wheel seal issue and the hub comes off. You know, I, like I said, I could be wrong, but because with them still being together like that, it doesn't tell me that studs broke because the tires didn't come apart. The whole hub assembly or the whole or tandems came off. Okay. So, but what other, we know that it had to do with a pre-trip. And if you, I mean, you seen it come off, you had to have seen them come off. I mean, I would think you'd see them come off. Unless you literally drive looking straight ahead and not paying attention to any mirrors whatsoever on your truck. Okay? Which this leads me back to this, the one that Paul wrote about on the 8th of January. It says, runaway duals incoming and a Christmas Eve miracle. Or it goes on to say, or, hi, I'm Paul, or I'm Phil. Okay, say what you will, but there's nothing like a once-in-a-generation blizzard to put you right back on the cutting edge. Just about the time your life seems to have lost its meaning and purpose, you wake up one morning, it's 14 below, and you got to be in Salt Lake City by 3:30 a.m. tomorrow. Throw in some 50-mile-per-hour wind gusts, a few whiteouts west of Ogallala, a veritable boneyard of jackknife trucks in the medium, and Viola. It's 1978 all over again. Your life has acquired new mission. Don't die today. Yes, I will cope. I will cop to the old trucker's tendency to reveal its one tribulation. But seriously, man, this Christmas week was a doozy. I make my living today as a part-time trucker, a singer-songwriter, and a freelance writer. Lately, though, can I just level with you? I've kind of hit a slump on the creative side. Call it burnout. Call it just being bummed down and numbed by time and age, as the Avett brothers put it. But I've honestly been wondering whether there's really anything left in me that's fresh and interesting. If not, why not just reboot as a full-time company driver? I have coworkers right here where I'm employed who are earning north of six figures. Here I am, gallivanting about, all semi-retired, playing shows and writing 800 to 1,200-word essays. There's a voice in my head that sounds a lot like Dave Ramsey screaming, dude, you've got well over a million miles without a moving violation or chargeable accident involving a police call-out. Run for the money while there's still time. these were some of the things I was contemplating on Christmas Eve while heading back home after weathering the aforementioned blizzard. I had picked up my return load in Greater Salt Lake and was making the beeline for Brooklyn. Iowa, that is. Good coffee, $2 sandwiches, and no ATM fees. With any luck, if I made it to Brooklyn Quick Star for the night, and if the roads held up, by my best laid plans, I'd be home for Christmas dinner the next day. But as the late sportscaster Danny Don Meredith was fond of saying, "Where ifs and buts only candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas." Somewhere between Big Springs and North Platte, a runaway set of duels from a truck or trailer came rolling westbound in my eastbound lane at a high rate of speed, like some suicidal white-tailed buck, straight at me. There was nothing I could do. Kaboom! Really? There is no adequate wording to describe the sickening sound of a set of 60 mile per hour runaway duels colliding head on with a tractor trailer at road speed. You got the initial sound of fiberglass crunching, followed by a nanosecond later by a left steer tire and an axle getting nuked. It was more like boom, maybe. But I wasn't really thinking about the autonomous, all the 77,000 pounds now bearing down on that naked rim as it pulled me into the median, into the oncoming westbound traffic as my cursing meddled into one screaming prayer down the embankment of the westbound shoulder. I flew straight for a small lake. Hang on for dear life. Stand on the brakes. My main thought for the second time in about as many days was don't die today. It was a long 5 seconds. At this point, I was raising my glass to whoever stretched that fence along I-80 in western Nebraska, horse high and hog tight. Never saw a more perfect example than that section of woven wire at mile marker 159. It was that fence that kept me from becoming involuntary member of the Polar Bear Club. I came to rest just a few feet from the water, short of breath and shaken up, but otherwise unscathed. Somewhere through the quarters of time, a 1987 orientation at Builders Transport began kicking in. What to do in case of an accident? Number one, assist the injured. I climbed out of the remains of truck 812 up the embankment and to my eternal relief found that no one else had wrecked, including whatever truck had lost this particular set of duels. A man and two women were standing on the shoulders speaking to one another. I recognized their vehicles as one that I nearly plowed into when I crossed the westbound lanes. One was a tractor trailer, a flatbed, and other a gray sedan. Number two, call the authorities. The man on the shoulder, the flatbedder, was on his phone. Now he was walking toward me. Are you okay? Yeah, I think so. He spoke into his phone. The driver said he's okay. Calling 911 was covered. I returned to the truck to call work and gather the requested paperwork. The Nebraska Highway Patrol by then had rolled in. With my paperwork gathered, I walked back up the embankment to the officer. Hi, I'm Phil, he said. Somehow, in that moment, there was no more perfect thing I could have heard. It felt like I was at a friendly neighborhood barbecue. Hi, I'm Phil, I said, and shook his hand. A young lady hugged me and told me she was so glad I was okay. Then Phil returned to taking their statements. These people had stood in the cold on the shoulder of I-80 for about 25 minutes now to bear witness to what they saw and to tell the officer it wasn't my fault. Somewhere west of Red Cloud, the ghost of Willa Gather must have been smiling. I still believed, at least in this abstract, that strangers this good and decent existed somewhere. It had been a while since I'd met any. It takes a long time to extract a loaded tractor trailer that is nosed in from an embankment. Sit in my car, if you'd like, Phil offered. So I did. Before it was over, there were 6 vehicles on the scene. Phil would return to the car every now and then to warm up and process my paperwork. A couple hours later, he gave me a ride to North Platte where there was lodging. Look, he said, here's my car with my personal cell. If you get lonely tomorrow, call me. Come have Christmas dinner with me and my family. It was nearly dusk by then. All the restaurants near me were closed for Christmas Eve. I set it on a bag of microwave popcorn, some Kraft mac and cheese, and beverages purchased from the front desk at the Comfort Inn. Alone in my room, thinking how bad it could have been, I was overtaken by an inexplicable joy. Greater than the kindness that is Western Nebraska, somehow, I didn't die today. So, phew, that gave me goosebumps. That was the first time I've actually read through that, and it actually, you know, makes you think, because that was Long Haul Paul. Did it actually happen to him? I don't know. I reached out to Paul to see about getting him to come on with us because I wanted to talk to him about the story. I'm going to keep doing that and see if I can get a hold of him to see if he would come on and tell us about this story. Okay, so here are some of the comments. There is literally 16 of them. Let me check my stats here. See, okay. All right, where am I at? All right. One of them says, this is just from the other day. Well, today's the 25th, right? Yeah. Thank God you were okay. In a similar accident just over a week ago, just north of Toledo, Ohio, a set of dolls came off a trailer and slammed into a cab of a tractor, killing the driver. That's what I just talked about, right? The cab was literally destroyed, but somehow the truck came to a stop at the berm like it had been parked there. Be safe out there. And that is true. When you look at the picture from that reporting outside of, you know, Wood County, or Lake County, Wood, anyways, we're here in Ohio, it did look like the driver just pulled off the side of the road. So was the driver trying to swerve away from it then at that point? Either way, it's good to see that that happened. All right, let me take a hold on here. Give me just a minute. I got to take this call real quick, only because, you know what, no, I won't, never mind. I guess I'll just call her back. All right, Greg, I'm bringing you on.
All right.
It's Linda calling.
Your grandmother.
No, I talked to Grandma. It's Linda. I'll have to call her back. When she calls us late at night, it makes me worry.
Yeah.
And there she's calling
better
back
girl.
Again.
Let me take it.
Hello. Well, I was just doing my radio show, but what do you need, my dear? Anything? We do a radio show with our nonprofit. I do one every Wednesday. Yeah, I can talk to you tonight, too. What do you need? Right? Okay. Are you going to be up for a while? I will call you when I get done off the show tonight, okay? You're welcome. Love you. All right, bye. Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. Okay. On that note, she just stated that, you know, Earl's at the Vista Center and there's a lot of stuff going on and they don't think it's not good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so I just told her I'd call her back when I got done because she said, can you just call me tomorrow?
Okay.
I said, I'll call you back tonight. Okay, so what's up?
Well, a set of dolls coming off is usually the main reason that causes it is a wheel seal. They blow a wheel seal. They lose all the oil, grease, whatever, and therefore you have bearing failure. Bearing gets hot, bearing burns up, spits it off, and there you go.
Right.
When it goes, they get, yes, it takes the hub, The drum.
All,
everything.
Yep,
it takes everything with it. And it's a bad deal, but it happens. And it's more times than not, it don't take but a few minutes. I mean, a lot of the trailers anymore has got greased back bearings. It's hard to check them. But usually they still got seals in them. If you look on the inside, once in a while, take a peek at them. Should do it every day. Look on the inside, and if you got a wheel seal, especially with, you know, oil bath bearings, which has got oil in them, they'll show. If they're leaking, they'll show because you'll have oil running out of the drum, down over the inside of the wheel, wherever. So, I mean, that's not saying that you will catch it in time. I mean, it's, you know, it might be okay during your pre-trip and, you know, 5-6 hours down the road, you know, that oil seal can blow, the oil leaks out, the bearing gets hot, way to go.
2 miles down the road.
All right, I mean, well, right, well, 2 miles usually won't take a bearing out if you lose the seal, but, you know, you got to run it quite a while, because, I mean, not quite a while, but depending on, you know, you're loaded, empty, whatever, but it don't take your bearings long to get hot when they run out of oil.
Right. Now, let me
ask
you
this. Or grease or whatever.
Okay. For, like, I know there's not a lot of places that run the grease pack bearings anymore, but how would you...
There's more of them out there than you know. A lot of the newer trailers now is going back to grease pack bearings.
Are they safer that way? Because it's harder to tell if there's a wheel seal leaking, correct?
Well, they're both good. The grease pack parent bearings just don't require the maintenance, per se, that an oil bath bearing does. They're there, but you don't, they don't show as fast. Usually by the time they show, it's too late.
Right.
More times than not, what takes a bearing or a seal out is loose bearings. A lot of loose bearings. I mean, how many have I caught? Your dad caught right up there on the hill. You know, be changing tires or something, you know, grab the tires and, you know, a little pry bar, check them. Yep, bearings is loose.
Now,
pop
how
the cap
often,
off of it, drain.
Now, how
about
often
every summer.
Do you check those? Okay.
We usually try to do ours about once a year, at least once a year, you know, or whenever you do tires, whenever you do brakes, whatever, check them.
Right.
Yeah, don't take, but, you got the expense of, you know, some oil or whatever to fill them back up, but it's a whole lot easier to pop that cap off, drain the oil out of it, tighten the bearing up, reseat the bearing, torque the bearing back to spec, put the hubcap back on it, pull oil, grease, and you're on your way. It's a whole lot safer to do it there. And let's face it, it's a lot cheaper, too.
Right.
I mean, if a set of duals comes off and you kill somebody, you're in a heap of trouble. I mean, it's an accident. Yes, it is. Yeah, it's devastating, but...
It's also preventative accident, too.
Well, yes, sometimes, yes, I agree. Yes, it's preventable, but like I said, you can be okay when you do your pre-trip, and you can take off down the road, and, hey, you got to take a break, you know, your 30-minute time, you take a 30-minute break, you know, everybody don't stop every 2 or 3 hours. So that wheel seal, if you pull out somewhere, and it can happen, that wheel seal can start leaking or blow. All the oils, it ain't going to take long when that oil gets real super hot. That oil gets hot, it runs out.
Right.
So when the oil runs out, there you ain't got any more oil, so there's nothing cool in the bearing. The bearing gets hot, and it burns the axle up, and away it goes.
Okay, now another question. If you are, say, 100 miles from the nearest truck stop or service plaza or, you know, garage to get that fixed, can you buy hub oil and keep putting it in there? Will that last it to get that far if you keep it filled with oil?
If you can keep oil in it, if it's not completely out to where it's not just pouring out, Yes. Keep adding oil to it. If you can't get somewhere close, slow down. Take your time. At least get it off the road at a safe, you know, that'll work to get it to a safe place anyhow and get it off the road. I wouldn't recommend driving it, you know, 100 miles, but it'll get you a little ways to where at least you can get off the highway or get into a safe location to where you're not sitting out there along the side of the road. You know, because then you're putting road service, you know, their life in harm's way as well as your own. And let's face it, road service anymore. There's some out there that will do a wheel seal, wheel bearing out there, you know, out on the road along the highway. But I have my doubts anymore because they're getting good mechanics out there. Good road service companies are getting hard to find.
Right.
You know, so a lot of them, just like your dad, when he had that carrier bearing go out up there in Michigan.
Yeah, they wouldn't fix it.
They wanted him to have they wanted the truck towed into their shop so they could have it in the shop so they could pull it inside the shop to change the carrier bearing.
Right.
I took that carrier bearing, what it cost me, 300 and some miles. I went up there to take the carrier bearing to him. Me and him changed it in less than a half hour. And down the highway he went.
Right.
So it cost me 700 miles because these people wanted him to tow the truck, and they said it'd probably be a couple of days before they could get to it. Are you serious? I mean, come on. But it is what it is. You know, but it's just bad because anything, I mean, we all know that you got ambulance chasing attorneys out here, and if something happens,
definitely,
it's the truck's fault.
Always.
Because when law enforcement shows up, the cameras, you know, the dash cams and everything now, and the e-logs, I will admit, they will help save the driver from some, you know, legal problems. In fact, they'll save you a lot, you know, help you a lot with legal problems. But your company has also got to be willing to back you on it. And more times, I've seen it, you know, I mean, over the years, the company would just as soon, you know, pay them off, you know, just pay the accident, pay it off, settle out of court, you know, to keep from having to get attorneys and take it to court to beat them. And people know that. Attorneys know that. That's why they do what they do. So now that the e-logs are out, it used to be every time you had an accident, the first thing that law enforcement wanted when they got there, they wanted your driver's license, registrations, or, you know, your ownership card, whatever, for the truck and trailer. And they wanted your logbook, and that's it. Because then they would take, and then the attorneys would subpoena your logs in court. It didn't matter if your logs was right or not when you was on paper logs. It didn't matter. Because they'd have said, well, you know how the logs are. Okay, all right. But that log was still a legal document. But, you know, whether you told the truth on it or not, it was still supposed to be legal. All right. They would say, well, if you weren't where you was, if you hadn't been where you was, that accident wouldn't have happened. Well,
right.
Now, with the e-logs, you're exactly where you're allowed to be, exactly where you're supposed to be. If you're not in violation of that log and your driving hours and stuff, that log has got you exactly where you are allowed to be. So, that being said, if people, where your company does it or not, I know it's an expense, hire an attorney. You get in an accident and it's not your fault, boom, pay. Don't settle. Don't settle. Don't settle for it. Get an attorney. Have an attorney to subpoena their cell phone records, because that's a big thing now. They want your cell phone records. They subpoena the cell phone records, e-logs, whatever. And then they try to say, well, you know, and God forbid, if you're talking on the phone or you send a text message, you're screwed because the attorney will eat you up in court because
right.
they'll say, well, you know, he was on the phone. If you hadn't been on the phone, you know, hadn't been talking on the phone, I don't care hands-free or not, attorneys are brutal. They will get you. So they'll say, well, you know, if you hadn't been on the phone, the accident wouldn't happen, so you was distracted. They love that distracted driving when they use it against the drivers, the truck drivers. But when it comes to a car, you see them all the time driving down the road holding the phone. I see truck yep. ride drivers hold the phone, which I don't
well,
agree with,
the
but they do it.
Do it too.
But if people would start making their attorney say, look at here, you're going to subpoena that car, that four-wheel, whatever, you're going to subpoena their cell phone records. And I want to know, I want their car checked for safety check like they do ours. Subpoena their cell phone records. If they was sending a text or they was talking on the phone at the time of this accident, then now I want to sue them. But nobody does it. It's easier for the company to just pay them off, settle out of court, and be done with it. And that way they can move on and keep making money, and they don't have to worry about, you know, court, you know, going to court. They don't want to take time for that. Throw the driver under the bus, pay the fine off, you get the points. The people get buku, you know, thousands of dollars.
Right.
And you got a black eye on your driving record that takes forever to get rid of. It never really ever goes away. So that's where that all goes down. Now, people may disagree with me, and that's fine. I mean, that's what this show's about. You can agree to disagree. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, and that's good. That's what makes it interesting. But if you sit and logically think about it, that's exactly what happens. I've seen it 38 years out here, and there's guys been out here a hell of a lot longer than me. But 38 years, I've seen it. I've seen it. I've been there. I've been down them roads. So I'll sit back and listen for a little bit now until I ask another question that I may or may not be able to answer or want to answer.
Well, think about those questions before we ask them. Okay, so I just found an article. It doesn't have to deal with the loss of duels. But here's another scenario that we all know, we've all were taught, you know, in CDL school or maybe not even in school, but just common sense and, you know, kind of tells you things. This happened in Missouri. And I'm not sure the date. It was just published today. It says freight train strike stuck semi pushes it two blocks down the tracks. Now, this semi, I think it's a Freightliner. But it's got a step deck. Okay. Authorities in Missouri are investigating a major train versus truck strike that occurred on Wednesday morning in Gorin. The crash occurred around 10:20 a.m. on January 25th, so it just happened today, at the junction of Highway A and Highway, it just says in the highway. A semi-truck hauling a flatbed trailer loaded with steel road tubes, culvert piping, became high-centered on the railroad tracks as Florida-based truck driver, and I'm not even going to attempt to say his first name. It starts with an E, it ends with an H. It's just very long, very big. Last name, Foland, 24, attempted to cross. The truck was stuck for about 6 minutes before the BNSF train plowed into the vehicle, pushing it about the length of two blocks before coming to a stop. Now, of course, in the intersection where this truck was struck, all the culvert that he was hauling, it looked like at least five or six pieces, probably about, 20 foot long, 25, maybe 30 foot, I don't know. Heck, could have been 45 foot long, is all over the road. Okay, Folan was outside the truck when it was hit, and no injuries were reported. Local outlet KTVO reports that the truck was only about three blocks from its final destination when it became stuck. Can you imagine that close and just boom? But just like that, you know, one thing he did right, he was out of the vehicle after it got stuck. If he was doing what he should be doing, was going to the call box, not the call box, but what is that? The post right there where the arms come down.
Right.
But I'm looking at pictures of the intersection where the pipes are laying, and it does not look like there's any crossing gates across that. So, but, you know, when you go, if you get stuck on the, you know, High Center on the railroad tracks, you're supposed to go to the pole, get the number, call the train company, and report that you're stuck on the tracks so they can let all the operators know. But he was there, you know, just minutes prior to this train hitting him. He did not have enough time to get a hold of all these people and then call and do all this and get that train stopped. But just like we talked before, you know, about the trains, how fast they come through the section, they should really, whether they have the gates or not, they should slow down to during those intersections, especially on, you know, high trafficked areas, should say. Because just like up there in Latonia up here, there's a train track where I always, when we go to like the Washingtonville and I cut across from Latonia over, there's railroad tracks there, but there's no gates across there. Or is there? Yes, there's gates across there. I take it back. There's gates across there. But still, even there, you know, even though it's a little two-lane road, all these trains, I believe, should slow down, especially since, you know, they can't stop, just like a truck. They can't stop on a dime. But with a truck, you know, you're 70 feet long, give or take. A train, you know, depending on the length of the cars, what are they, what about 30 foot long, maybe?
And yeah, you take a mile for a train to slow down or better.
Exactly. But that's the thing. They don't want to slow down for all these intersections because if they slow down for one intersection, they're not going to have enough speed or get to their destination on time. Hence the reason why all these companies want to put all their freight boxes on trains because they don't have to stop as much, or maybe I take this back, they probably do. They probably have to run by certain regulations and only have so long. I'll have to do some questioning on that because I do know somebody whose husband runs that is a train operator. May have to ask him some questions one day. But just like that, you know,
the reason that companies put all them trailers on trains is because it cuts their costs down to move
equipment.
It's cheaper for them to have the train take them cross country than it is for the trucks.
Right.
And that knocks out all the long haul drivers. They can put everybody on regional and local, and all they do is go to the rail yard, pick them up, take them and deliver them. You know, they send them into different areas of the country, and it cuts shipping costs down on their end.
Right.
It don't cut it down for the consumer too much, but it helps the company profit.
Yeah.
But as far as the railroad tracks, if you pay attention to a lot of these railroad tracks, they come up and over, there's usually a sign. I'm not saying always, but a lot of them has got signs there that says above grade crossing or something, no load deck trailers or you know, whatever, and it'll show us whatever. So, I mean, as a driver, that's part of the job. That's part of your equipment.
Right.
Know
exactly.
Your equipment. Know your ground clearance. You know, a lot of no, above grade clearance. You know, low clearance. Yeah. You know how much room it takes. You know, Robbie, if he's on there, or he chimes in, he can tell you. But at RGN, he knows what kind of clearance he's dealing with. He's only dealing with maybe 4, maybe 5 inches.
Yeah, because his is a low deck.
I know that
deck,
one.
His,
that
ex, his hits yep. even closer.
That XL that we pulled, you and I,
uh-huh.
when we were driving a company
Did
truck,
really
that,
talk
that,
about that
thing there,
I was just
4 inches
up with
is all the ground clearance it had.
You know, while talking about the railroad track, all I can remember was a statement that somebody made to the boss at the time.
Yeah, well, we ain't going there.
That just kind of crossed my mind about that, you know.
We made it, didn't we?
We did. Yeah, that's not something you want to do. You want to get out and check your surroundings first instead of just, you know.
Right. Know your equipment. Know your clearances.
Yeah.
You know, your underride clearance is just as important as your overhead clearances.
Oh, yeah. And if you've never pulled a step deck or a double drop, you wouldn't understand that because if you're, you know, always pulling a, you know, a box or, you know, a flatbed. But just like, you know, Jeff, and he's got to know a lot of the different things because he hauls so many different pieces of equipment.
Different types of trailers, right?
You know, he hauls a little bit of everything. So he's got to be on his mark at all times because of that. And not many of us can say that, that we do this and this and this. I mean, we may have done that, but we're not doing that. So, and the roadways and everything change every time you turn around, something's changing with them. Okay. So coming right back to knowing your equipment and being a smart driver brings me into something I just found on CDL Life, because the last story about the train was a CDL Life story. Now this one here, it's a scary thought, but, and we know it's happened to all of us, whether it be a big truck or it be a car, okay? Now, I don't think – I'm scrolling through to see if there's an actual video. There is an actual video. But you guys, of course, can't see it. I will actually share this and post it to our Facebook – our Redneck and I's Facebook page. But it says, watch. This driver is lucky the other trucker's brakes were grabbing that day. And the picture that I'm seeing is a, you see, because the guy's got the truck that is, you know, because most of these companies have the dash cams. Now, this one actually gives the location, you know, north, you know, the, whatever that is, the numbers, latitude and longitude, had to think for a minute, and his speed. And this was on the 23rd of this month at 12:20 in the afternoon. And he was running 54 miles an hour. I'm not sure. I haven't got to where the driver was at. But now the distance is probably the length of a truck and trailer, you know, maybe that distance from this truck that is pulling off of a side road on the left-hand side. So this truck is going, this truck that's pulling out in front of this one that's traveling at 54 miles an hour is pulling out in front of him in his lane of traffic or travel. Okay, the article goes on as this. A truck driver is very lucky that another driver's brakes were on point in this boneheaded video. In the clip, the filming driver is headed down a two-lane rural road when they approach another driver waiting to enter the roadway from a side street. As the filming trucker gets closer, the waiting driver suddenly decides it's his time to go and pulls out in front of the oncoming rig. Luckily for the impatient driver, the filming truck's brakes apparently worked well that day and they managed to stop just short of collision with the trailer. He is so lucky your brakes were grabbing strong that day, laugh out loud, commented one viewer. Whoa, idiot driver that pulled out in front of you. Good job reacting in time, laugh out loud. Good thing your brakes were working, added another. I would have let off the horn for about, or laid on the horn for about 5 minutes, wrote a third. I didn't. Damn near pulled it down. I didn't, the video poster replied. Watch the clip for yourself below. Okay, I don't know if you're going to be able to hear anything, but I am going to play the clip. It's only like 18 seconds, so we'll see here. I don't know what you guys can hear. Oh, you can't hear anything. But I will definitely post it. And it's like, oh, my God. Ugh. Shit. He went with this, the driver that was driving, he went from 54 miles an hour to like 10 miles an hour and kept from hitting this driver. I was like, wow. Definitely when they say close call, but we know it's happened. Everybody's seen it happen. I'm going to see if I can try, you know.
You ain't going to be able to change it, do the video.
No,
we won't be able to hear it.
Myself, yeah, they didn't. There was no volume, but I'm going to see if I can actually copy this link and share it real quick, so you guys can see it and watch it on your leisure. But yeah, I mean, it's just that simple. Things can happen and change in a blink of an eye, because it was just that quick that that driver was able to bring that rig to a stop, or dang near a stop, I should say. But it was definitely a close call for all involved, because it would not have been pretty. It would not have ended very well for either driver. More for the driver that was actually, you know, running in his lane. I hate it when this thing does this to me. Okay. I'm trying to share this to our page, and our page is giving me all kinds of fits today. Okay. So let me do this real quick, just for you guys that are on, I should say, and then I will post it to our group page. Okay. All right. So you guys that are on, Jeff, Holly, and Greg, that video that I just talked about, I just shared that in our page so you guys can look at it there and watch that video. It's like crazy how quick he came to a stop. Surprisingly enough, he was able to. So I'm going to see if I can actually share it to the page, but okay. All right, let's see. Back to the news of the day. So, Greg, today while you were out on your wild adventures, I know you told me earlier that the roads were crappy in some of the areas that you were at. Have they gotten any better, or are they starting to get nasty with the rain and everything?
They're just wet now. Everything's pretty much melted off. A little bit of slush laying in the middle, in the turn lanes and stuff. But the main part, the main travel, the travel lanes on the highway, they're just wet. It's raining. It just drizzling rain. It ain't even really raining now. The roads is wet. But
right.
I'm on 51 now up here. I just down here, right, come in Darlington or whatever, so.
Yeah. Darlington and Chippewa and all that?
Yeah. Yeah, I went down 51. I got to go down 51 and go down there to Beaver.
Beaver Falls down there.
I go down Beaver Falls, unload this tonight. Supposedly they're there at 11 o'clock, so I get this unloaded. If I get home, get a shower and dinner, and go to bed. It's been a long day.
All I got to say is you got leftovers. So.
Yeah, well.
Because what I was thinking of making doesn't hold up very well waiting till late hours to eat, so.
Yeah,
right. That's what I thought. Okay. Let's see here. All right. Here's something I just kind of found. All right. This is, again, on CDL Life. It says, Iowa man sentenced to federal prison for $247,000 check kiting scheme that put a trucking company out of business.
Harry's is back open again.
Shut up. Just keep driving.
I'm just saying.
I know. All right. This week, a Cedar Falls man was sentenced to prison for a bank fraud scheme that caused a trucking company to go bankrupt and close shop. On January 24th, Nolan Otta DeWall, 39, was sentenced to a year and a day in federal prison after he pleaded guilty to one count of bank fraud, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Iowa. The prison term is to be followed by 2 years of supervised release. Authorities say that DeWall was a manager and shareholder at a Black Hawk County grain cooperative, as well as a part owner of a trucking company based in Dyke, Iowa. The U.S. Attorney Office has described the scheme. This is what they described. In May of 2018, DeWall devised a so-called check-kiting scheme in which he transferred large amounts of funds by check during a short period of time between accounts of the grain cooperative and the trucking company, as well as other accounts. The checks had no legitimate business purpose, but were instead designed to falsely and temporarily inflate the balances of the accounts to benefit the grain cooperative, which was in financial distress. DeWalt also forged the signature of one of the partners in the trucking company on a check. When the check-kiting scheme collapsed, the trucking company's account was left with a negative $247,000 balance. Okay, that's what the attorney general said. Now, it goes on to, due to the negative account balance, one of DeWalt's partners in the trucking business was forced to file for personal bankruptcy. Another partner had to use personal funds and a loan to pay the negative bank balance. Ultimately, the trucking company was forced to sell off its assets and become defunct, authorities say. DeWalt also has also been ordered to pay $217,441.96 in restitution to his partners in the trucking business. Shoof!
That's wow.
Crazy. But how many times does stuff like that happen that you don't see about?
It's happening all the time.
Yep. But why, I mean, it kind of makes you think, why did he do it from the company that he was partners in to a co-op that he was, what did it say he was? A shareholder at the co-op. Wow. But anyways, that's just like kind of crazy, but yeah. Let's see what else can we find here. We talked about that one. This ought to be interesting. Okay, this is also from, you know, whatever it is, CDL Life. This truck makes really, really wide right turns. A trucker's dash cam captures the moment that a fellow driver makes an inexplicable right turn from a far left lane. The dash cam clip was shared on January 24th by 401, whatever it says, but from... This was it was captured in Brantham, Ontario. And then it goes in, it shows the video. And I'll do the same thing with this. I'll share it on the page. But I just want to watch the video. Yeah, this guy's in the far left-hand turning lane. And he must have discovered, oh, crap, I'm in the wrong lane and wanted to, instead of making, ooh, crap. He was in the left turning lane. And he decided he needed to, instead of making a left, he needed to make a right. So he decided, oh, heck, I'll just cut across traffic. But it was also another one of those, you know, close calls type thing. And it's like, wow. The things you see people do, and now with dash cams, you know, you could talk about it all the time. You know, well, this driver did this and this one did that. Well, until you actually see it, it's kind of hard to say, yeah, that's exactly what they did. But when you have it in black and white like that, you know, to see it, it's like, oh, wow, yeah. How stupid were you? But, okay. You know, I like looking at CDLA because I like some of the different things that they have. But I really like, you know, Overdrive. Because just like, you know, Paul's story, I had seen it a couple times on here, but I didn't really read it. But it was like, wow, when I read it tonight, it was like literally gave me goosebumps. Okay. We're going to do one more, and we're actually going to call it quits tonight. Only for the fact I want to call Linda back and see what's going on there. For you guys that don't know, because we have Holly and Jeff on, Linda and Earl are really good friends of ours, and Earl's not doing real good here lately, and Linda lives by herself, and now, since Earl's in nursing home, so they're, like, really close friends of ours, so I definitely want to call and keep in touch with what's going on there, so. Okay, but here we go. Last one for the night, and like I said, we're just going to call it quits tonight, and that way, no reason being on 2 hours, just you and I talking, right? Because you're going to be where you need to be before long. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just about there. I got 5 miles.
Yeah. A Florida man pleads guilty to $4.1 million Pauli Meyer theft scheme using die-cast trucking company. Dissected. Anyways. This week, a Florida resident admitted to orchestrating a complex years-long scheme to steal shipments of chemicals and resell them to third-party buyers to help with help from a trucking company owner as a co-conspirator. On January 24th, Terrence Anderson, 66, pleaded guilty to charges related to the scheme that defrauded several companies involved in the sale of polymers, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office of the Northern District of Ohio. Authorities say the scheme, lasting from July 2013 to January 2020, cost one business in Northeast Ohio and multiple logistic companies approximately $4.1 million. According to the court documents, Anderson owned and operated Coral Polymers, a corporation headquartered in Parkland, Florida, that bought and resold polymers. Authorities say that Anderson used Coral Polymers to conceal the true origins of the chemicals when he resold them to third-party buyers for substantial sums of money. The Cleveland Division of the FBI is investigating the case. Huh, this is close to home, but we didn't even know anything about it. But the Attorney General's office, they put out a statement that says, as part of the scheme, Anderson would pose as fictional employees of a well-known large corporation and contact sellers of polymers, including one company in Northeast Ohio, to facilitate large purchases of the substance, which were to be delivered by rail car to victim logistics companies in particular locations. Contrary to his representation, court documents say that Anderson never intended to pay for the polymers, but rather sought to resell them to third-party buyers. Court documents show that Anderson submitted purchase orders for shipments worth approximately $4,855, almost $5 million, from at least eight sellers to obtain shipments worth more than $3.7 million from six of those sellers. After ordering the polymers, Anderson arranged for victim logistics companies to unload the rail car, store the substance, repackage, and load them for shipment to their final destination. In addition, court documents show that Anderson enlisted the services of a co-conspirator who owned a trucking company. In an attempt to conceal the identity of the trucking company and the vehicle drivers, Anderson and the co-conspirator directed drivers picking up the shipments and semi-trailer trucks to remove or conceal vehicle license plates, provide fake identification documents if prompted, and to conceal from the logistic company the true destination of the deliveries. Wow. Not only did they pull in the co-conspirator and everything else, but now they're trying to pull in all the drivers too. The companies that got taken on this could come back after them, you would think, too.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say anything about who the company was or anything like that, so it just kind of makes you, wonder. Huh. That may be a story we'll have to keep an eye on since it is, Northern Ohio.
It's funny, it supposedly happened that close to home, and it's never been on the local news or anything. You think something that big would have hit the news,
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You would have thought. Huh. But yeah. You definitely would have thought it would have. Especially, I don't know, you probably couldn't do because it's an ongoing investigation, so you probably couldn't find anything else out about it. But it still makes you wonder. I got a chip in my glass.
Hate these roads down here.
I know. Especially when you get down a little bit further. It's dark. Huh?
It's foggy.
Well, yeah, you're getting close to the the creek in that down that way.
Yeah.
Alrighty, let's see here. Well, it is 8 o'clock, so I'm just going to get ready to close this all down.
All right, I'm getting off here. I'll talk to you in a bit.
All right, honey, be careful, and I'll see you when you get in.
All right, bye.
Okay, so this is going to bring us to a close. Usually we do a two-hour show, but tonight, you know, I need to make an important phone call, and it's just one of those nights. It's dreary. It's nasty. But send us questions that you want us to ask people or topics you want to talk about or anything like that because, you know, we'd love to hear from you, as always. Okay, this is Tiffany with Redneck and Eyes Radio, Women of Redneck and Eyes. As always, we're on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern. And I do want to just say, you know, quick shout out because I get to talking and talk about stories and everything else, and I don't really do it enough. Quick shout out to our loyal sponsors, such as DPF Regeneration. They take care of any type of your particular needs. For you can get radiators, charge air coolers, get your DPF system redone. See, can't remember these things because, you know, we don't have these. So check them out at WeBakeEm.com. Then there is Load to Ride out in Denver, Colorado. Loyal sponsor as well. And we're hoping to do some more stuff with them. But there's always a chance to do more with any one of these companies. But Load to Ride's always looking for drivers, and they have some awesome-looking trucks. So with that being said, this is Tiffany signing off for tonight, and we will be back at you again tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern with Ed on Redneck and Eyes Radio. Have a great night, guys, and y'all be safe out there. See you soon.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and eyes.